and welcome to another edition of the World's Greatest Online Magazine presents the Half-Baked Podcast, so something like that. We have a special trade deadline edition to go over, but first, as always, we ask the important questions. Guys, how do you feel about oversized sandwiches? Like really large burgers, something you can't even get in your mouth. What's the darn point is my question. I'm not a fan.
No,
I don't think you can make a sandwich too big.
You'd be surprised.
As long as it can be cut into sufficient pieces, then it's okay.
Even then, what's the point, man? You should just—it's just one good size. That's all you need. All right. Again, we ask the important questions.
Is a burger a sandwich or not?
Is a sandwich. A hot dog is a sandwich. This is
a Reuben is a taco. We've been over this. Yes.
A Reuben is more of a chase lounge. So,
sounds comfortable. All
right, on the chase lounge.
Yeah, something like that. I've been listening to Wet Leg lately.
I bet.
As we mentioned, it's been a pretty surprisingly busy day. I guess I would say I was. As I mentioned, I wasn't, ready for the Twins to be too splashy, but overall, it's pretty promising, I would think.
Got a little bit of water everywhere.
That was about as splashy as as it gets for the Twins. I think that
for
especially
buying. We've gotten splashy selling.
Right.
I was telling a friend, that there's a lot of prospects going out the door, but I would say the returns are all relatively solid. And how about we take this somewhat chronologically? Why don't we first talk about acquiring Jorge Lopez?
When I saw that they got Lopez, when I saw that come across Twitter, I knew that they were buyers and that there was going to be at least two or three transactions. It's not a transaction you make if that's the only one you're making.
Right. And we should mention real quick, it was Jorge Lopez and cash to Minnesota. And the Orioles received Yennier Cano, Juan Nunez, Cade Povich, and Juan Rojas.
Right. So I think, we've seen some Yennier Cano this year already. I think I've
seen as much Yennier Cano as I intended to see.
As we need to, yeah.
He is of the several revolving door relievers, been one of them.
One of the worst of them, and that's hard. That's a challenging bar to clear, actually, with this bullpen. He's been one of the worst. No, Cade Povich is. I think we'll get into this later in a summation, but Cade Povich was one of the draft picks from last year. I think a left-handed starter out of Nebraska. And I think he was pitching at, if I say something wrong, correct me real quick, but I think he was at high single A this year pitching. He's a solid prospect. The other two guys are real low level. I think they just started in the FCL. They're both live arms, as you would say, but they're real far off to be able to tell if they're anything at all. So those are his lottery ticket as it gets.
Yeah, those are scratch-off tickets. And honestly, Povich has a lot of potential, but he's still in the lottery ticket stage. I mean, there's no necessarily reason to think that he's going to turn into anything.
Every pitcher in the Twins system right now is in the lottery ticket stage.
Oh, right. Yeah. 100%.
But no, DG, you jump in here too, but I think Nimish and I are both pretty positive on the Jorge Lopez acquisition, because I think if you look across baseball, I don't think there were three better relief pitchers traded this season. I mean, in this last few days.
And we got 2.5 years of Jorge Lopez.
Right.
Well, is like for a bunch of, if there is no such thing as a pitching prospect, we traded nothing for Jorge Lopez.
Right.
Pretty across the board. Yeah. None of these guys are rentals. So it's, that's a nice thing to see.
Well, for coming in for us, Fulmer is a rental. But
right.
Yes.
And what should we look forward to from Mr. Jorge Lopez?
A lot of ground balls. Lot of ground balls.
Yeah. He's what, like top five or better than that in relief pitcher ground ball rate this year?
Yeah. He's got 60%.
Yeah. That's, I mean, 60%. That's,
I don't think there's much of a question, but he basically is taking over as the closer, right?
He's taking over as the highest leverage. Whatever that means, I would bet, for Rocco. He'll see a lot of the ninth inning, late and close type stuff. He'll see the types of stuff that we've had to throw Duran into every single time.
Right.
You'll be getting a lot more of that.
Right. So yeah, as close as we get to having a true closer, which, you know, it will almost certainly be Lopez. Yeah.
I was mentioning somewhere or on the site today that I also have him on one of my fantasy teams and he still qualifies as a starting pitcher. So it's a way to sneak one more relief arm in there.
He was not much as a starter. He has really, really turned it around as a reliever.
Yeah, even for the Orioles, he got a surprising amount of saves, I would admit.
I mean, he was an all-star this year, for whatever that's worth.
Right. He has a higher B-war than any other pitcher on the Twins staff this year.
That's a good start. That,
except for
Tyler Mahle.
That says multiple things about this scenario here.
Okay, why don't we move on to Tyler Mahle? This one was a bit of a steeper price. We acquired Tyler Mahle and sent off Spencer Steer, Steve Hajar, and Christian Encarnacion Strand.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real price. I mean, I don't want to soft sell it. This is a real price to pay. Yeah, I think if you look at the returns that the Reds got from Luis Castillo from the Mariners, and the Athletics got from the Yankees for Frankie Montas, I would say this return is definitely a step down from either of those, but it's the third highest price anybody's paid for a starting pitcher at this deadline, for sure.
But the fact that they were able to do it without touching any of the big five or so prospects / young guns in the pipeline, it was, I mean, compared to what they had to give up for Castillo and what they had to give up for Montas, that was,
right,
I think, pretty big. I mean, Steer could turn into something, and Encarnacion Strand could turn into a bruiser, but
he was tearing it up in AAA, if I remember correctly, right?
Double A, I want to say.
Oh, Double A. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Steer has been at AAA, I think, for a little over a month, and he's been hitting well at Triple A.
Yes.
And Encarnacion Strand moved up to Double A, I think, also about the same time, and he has done well there too. So I mean, they both of them have had really, really good years. And Steer was pretty good last year, but he's been even better this year than he was last year.
So I think what this really says is, A, they wanted control like they did with everything, but also that I think we really saw today that they buy into wholeheartedly Jose Miranda.
Yeah, this is a huge endorsement of not only they weren't willing to give up Jose Miranda in the trade, and they traded two guys who play either similar positions or literally the same positions in Encarnacion Strand's case.
Right.
And Miranda has done nothing to dissuade us of the fact that he could be the real deal so far.
No, DK and I were talking yesterday about the fact that, you know, coming into the season, Miranda comes out as this guy who gets a lot of hits, walks practically never, has a little bit of pop, but you don't know how well that's going to really translate to the major leagues. And over the last month and a half, he's at the very least proven that he has a ceiling, and it's a pretty good one.
Right. Rookie of the month, I believe, this year or this month, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And well deserved. I really do think that this deadline proved that the Twins are looking at him as a long-term Twin.
Yeah, I think it's hard. They're always flexible, you know that with these guys especially, but you know, things could always change. But I think that is definitely the signal that this trade deadline, I mean, from what we were willing to give up and what we did give up, I think that's definitely the signal that I would read into this too.
Yep. Mahle or Mahle or however you say his name, I'm sure we'll learn in the coming time. Real solid pitcher. I mean, he's not Frankie Montas and he's not Luis Castillo, but he's a good solid pitcher, and they've got him for another year, and that 2023 rotation is actually going to look pretty damn nice.
Fun fact, Tyler Mahle has a higher B-war than anybody on the Twins pitching staff so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's very good. And one of the things with Mahle is that I think gets hidden, that gets hidden when you just look at his ERAs, is, you know, having to pitch in Great American Ballpark, which is one of the most notorious hitters parks in
I think I saw a stat that he was giving up like 1.7 home runs per nine innings at Great American Ballpark and like 0.8 everywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually been a much better road pitcher, and now he doesn't have to play in Great American Ballpark anymore.
Yeah, it's a stark difference. And I think, you know, he's had, I think he, as Carlos Correa said when they talked to him at the press conference today, when you look at his Baseball Savant page, there's a lot of red there.
Yep. I love Carlos Correa.
And obviously, you know, that sets us up nice for this year, but next year the rotation could be pretty decent.
Kenta comes back healthy, Molly, stretched out. Yeah,
Ryan. Then you got Ober and Winder around. Even Paddock could be coming back. Well, eventually,
someday.
Eventually.
So yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah, they're in a much, they suddenly feel like they're in a much stronger position than they were 4 months ago on the starting pitching side anyway.
Yes.
And yeah, like, I don't know if I should say a little more about that. Like, I think the biggest thing coming into this deadline was I wasn't sure if they could pull off a deal like this without giving up people in the Royce category or the Miranda
Martin
category.
Or
even Austin Martin, who has definitely declined somewhat this year, but is still definitely one of the top five prospects in our system.
Well, was definitely still a higher profile, higher possibility prospect than Steer or Encarnacion Stand or any of the other ones we gave up.
Right. And I think DG, you said something to us earlier today about these guys in particular, right?
Yeah, I think like, I felt like just kind of, I don't follow prospects a whole lot, but just like reading Gleeman and like those kinds of things. It's like, these are the three guys that were kind of highlighted as they're having breakout years. And so it kind of feels like, it could be that they're selling high on them. Like right now you can look at all three of these guys and see a really rosy projection for Steer and Encarnacion Strand and Hajar. Like I think all of them had really good years. And so this is the time, you know, a prospect is a prospect until they get to the majors and nothing is guaranteed. So I don't know. Yeah. I certainly like you said, it's a price for sure, but I don't think that this was unreasonable to get a starting pitcher for a year and a half of Manny's caliber. So,
right.
Well, I mean, Mickey Moniak got traded for Noah Syndergaard. So, I mean, it's crazy how fast they lose value when
that
they're
prospect.
Not.
The cachet as a
yeah.
I mean, are you talking about that from Moniak's perspective or Syndergaard's perspective?
He could honestly be both.
Remember, 3 years ago when everyone was actually this is really funny. Remember 3 years ago when everyone was like trade Buxton for Syndergaard. Now Syndergaard's getting traded for Mickey Moniak.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago that would have been like the trade of the deadline, and now it's just like I guess that's another thing that happened.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, any deadline that had Soto traded would have been the trade. So.
Well, right. Yeah, I don't think you can. I think everything is under that. But like, I think about a guy like Alex Kirilloff, who if they had traded him for whatever, you know, maybe in 2019 at that deadline, you know, you wonder what you could have gotten for that. And now, I mean, I still really like his potential, but you know, now he's got this ongoing risk thing that it's a real question if it ever resolves enough for him to be able to reach his full potential.
Yeah.
You know, there's, it's that, I hope so. I hope so for his sake and I hope so for our sake, but like, it's a real question and you're not going to get what you could have gotten for him 3 years ago if you try to trade him now.
But that's part of the whole thing with prospects in general, and everybody gets so bent out of shape about, oh, what prospect was traded, oh, he was number 20 prospect. In generally speaking, they don't pan out. I mean, not right. to say that they never do, and some of them turn into amazing ball players, but on the whole, prospect don't pan out. So I think we saw that they're willing to trade the unknown for the known.
Right.
Yeah, nobody's tearing their hair out about losing Akil Baddoo this year.
No, and honestly, not like, Lamont Wade Jr. either. Right.
those aren't.
And Lamonje Jr. was never even a number 20th prospect.
Right.
No. Like I said, it flips on it quick. Badu, now the only thing Badu can do is be an absolute menace to the teams that let him go. So
he literally cannot hit anyone else, but he still gets hits against us.
Only thing Badu can do.
So grade A for the Maley trade in general. I mean, in particular, I give a full A for that. I love it. I love adding Maley.
I would give A's to both the first two trades.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
Without question.
Now we get to one that I would probably give up. I mean, I'll give a C minus too.
Yeah. Why don't we touch up on Jeffers is still going to be out another 4 to 6 weeks. It sounds like so. The Twins picked up Sende Leon, and they sent back the right-hander Ian Hamilton.
So this trade doesn't mean anything at all. I mean, at all. The thing that makes this trade a C for me is that Kurt Casale went like 2 minutes earlier for a AA relief pitcher.
Yeah.
And Kurt Casale is about 100,000 times better than Sende Leon.
I'd say Leon, he's playing in AAA right now, right?
Sende Leon is Drew Butera.
Yep.
There is
no really good on other teams.
I mean, as good as Drew Butera
is.
But yeah, no, we're gonna get AA offense from this guy and decent defense. So I mean, it's fine, but it doesn't really mean anything. I was kind of hoping that they'd go a little bit more with their. They said they wanted a backup catcher. They needed a backup catcher. I was hoping that they'd grab someone who could play more than once a week, maybe, because I don't think you're going to toss Sende Leon out more than once or twice a week. You're
day game after that, night game. Yep.
That 133 average ain't going to play.
I mean, Sanchez hasn't been doing terribly better.
I'm
worried about Gary wearing out because they're pushing him really hard now, and
which
they're
going
to keep having to because
they, which is why they I wanted is, a Casale,
right? I agree with you.
Gonna do that, then just keep Caleb Hamilton,
which they might. I mean, they are right now. They left Sende Leon in St. Paul so far, so. I mean, I assume they'll bring him up eventually, but
does it even matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Like at all. I mean, the coin has two sides. One of them is Caleb Hamilton. One of them is Sende Leon. If you flip it, you could lose it in the sewer. It doesn't even matter. Honestly, the only disappointment really of the day.
Yeah. They could have used another outfielder, but it turned out that we had that other outfielder all along.
Hey, JK, welcome back.
When I logged on to this podcast, I thought that was why we were recording this. The triumphant return.
Cave is back.
Of Jacob Cave.
He's back.
Cavesy.
He's never going to make an out again.
He did make an out his last
attempt. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, but that was it. That was it.
That's it.
it's all on base from here, baby.
Hey, he's catching up to Miguel Sano in hits per season so far.
Maybe we should touch on this quick too. Also, Sano went back on the 60-day IL. Is he effectively done with the Twins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, and it's. I'm sad. I mean, it's a sad ending for me because I really. I mean, when he was on, he was so fun to watch hit.
I think destroying baseballs. Me and Cheap Toy saw him play in Beloit. I remember. And I was like, oh, that's one big dude.
Yeah.
It's sad that we are where we are, but here we are.
Yep.
There was no streakier hitter than I can ever remember. But man, when he was on a good streak, it was just, he would demolish the baseball.
I still remember when he hit that lady in the face in that like second deck center field club that they have over at Target Field. But, you know, in her defense, who expects to get hit by a ball from like 460 feet away, you know?
Oh, man. He had two of my favorite home runs. I mean, certainly of the 2019 season, maybe of all time. The home run he hit against the walk-off against the Braves. Yep. He hit off Chris Martin, the Coldplay guy who just got traded, I think, too. That was a walk-off. And then the grand slam against Cleveland was probably, I mean, that was the best moment of that season for me, I think, because I literally jumped out of my chair and screamed when he hit that one, because he did what he does. He destroyed that baseball. I'm never going to forget those two for sure, because those were the classic Snell moments for me.
Yeah. He was a special talent when he was on, and he just wasn't on this year.
Yeah.
No,
this was a totally random fact, but I just saw that Vin Scully passed away. That's sad.
Oh.
All right. Well, on that cheery note, let's move forward.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Michael Fulmer now,
guys. I was going to say, this one was a little bit of a kind of a last second surprise. But yes, the Twins acquired Michael Fulmer from the Tigers. They traded their other hyphenated name in the system, Sawyer Gibson Long. I always love when this happens, because I'm just so curious how it works, where you trade for someone and they basically walk to the other side of the stadium. I always get a kick out of that for some reason.
Well, last night when Christian Vasquez got traded to the Astros, like while he was in the middle of doing a pregame interview for the Red Sox.
I saw that was pretty funny.
And that was, and then they were playing, obviously the Red Sox were playing the Astros too. So that was like a literal, the same situation.
Walk across the field. Yeah. No, DK and I were joking earlier in the day that what we would really like is for the Tigers to just leave Tucker Barnhart, Michael Fulmer, and Joe Jimenez like behind when they packed up and left.
Right.
And well, we got one of the three of them anyway.
Got one of them. That's
interesting. One of those three, but he's still good. I still like this trade.
I was gonna say this one is probably the one true rental of the the trade deadline so far.
He's only here for the rest of the year. That Sandy Leon will be
right.
But
Sandy Leon is probably also the rental. but Fulmer is a free agent after this year, and as we said, Maley has another year after this, and Jorge Lopez has two more years after this. But yeah, so Fulmer is just here for this stretch run.
And how do you think he fits into the bullpen?
I mean, he's turned into a slider merchant. Kind of, you know, like a lot of our, we've had successful guys in recent years with no longer with us. Wes Johnson's tutelage. Yeah. But Fulmer goes like probably 60% slider heavy. And he throws it at like 90 miles an hour. So it's a pretty good slider. He's a little more of a soft contact guy than a strikeout leaning guy. So I think you're looking at like, you got to play good defense behind him, but you're looking at not, his primary feature is he's been very good at avoiding home runs. So assuming that continues, that's something that like Emilio Pagan and Tyler Duffy have been very bad at doing.
And that really is what this trade does for me. I mean, he's immediately the third or fourth best reliever in the bullpen. And all that does is it slides down the Pagan, the Duffies, and God forbid the Joe Smith down the line further to where they get less and less important inning.
That's hard to complain about.
Yeah. If you could, I mean, you put Fulmer out there sometimes in the seventh-ish inning or in the, you know, your third highest leverage spot, whatever that is. And you've got Lopez for mostly the ninth or whatever. And
I would say he sounds like he's going to be in like seventh, eighth inning, basically, right?
Yeah, that's what I would think. Yeah, and then you got Duran there to be your weapon of choice whenever you
your high leverage situations
in the tightest spots. Yeah.
What are we giving up in Sawyer Gibson Long?
You know, he's a big shruggy guy. He's a pitcher. He's never ranked. He's never been a big time. He's never been in any of the top 30, top 40 lists of ours that I've seen. I think he's taken a step forward this year. So he probably could have ended up there in the next round of rankings. But I mean, I if you ask me straight up, would I rather have him than even Cade Povich? I would say I'd take Cade Povich, and you know, which is about what you expect for trade. You know, part of a trade for Jorge Lopez as opposed to Charmin, opposed to being the trade for Michael Fulmer. So he's a flyer for the Tigers, but he's, like I said, he's had a good year, and he's actually probably an example of selling at the highest value you could imagine this guy having as a prospect. Like he was never this valuable before this year, and he probably will never be again.
But for whatever 50 games of Michael Fulmer, like, This is the kind of return you're going to get if you're the Tigers.
Yeah,
I take it. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was thinking about this earlier. If you compare 3 years, again, 3 years ago when we got certain, I mean, obviously the Sam Tyson trade was a big, but none of the players we even moved in that trade have really been significant for the Giants. I think Jalen Davis is now with the Red Sox, and none of the others have gotten on the Giants radar yet. But even like Lewin Diaz, who we traded to the Marlins for Sergio Romo. I mean, he's gotten some shots with the Marlins, but he hasn't done much yet. Do we really miss him being in our system?
Right.
No, not really. You're going to be trading that kind of player for relief rentals, and it's not going to hurt you that much down the line.
So I think we can give this trade pretty high marks as well, then.
Yeah, this is a solid one. This is exactly what they I want to say, I don't know if we said this on a podcast. Maybe I said it when it was just you and me, Hunger Joe. I thought they needed to get at least two relief pitchers at the deadline. And they honestly, I mean, getting Jorge Lopez and anybody decent is better than I thought they would do. And they did. They got Jorge Lopez, and they got somebody who's decent. So yeah. You know, the relief pitcher deadline activity is also an A for me.
Yep. It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue.
Yeah, definitely.
How about this? We just have a few minutes left here. Are there any trades that we didn't make that we should have?
We didn't get Juan Soto.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true.
That's the big one. Yeah, that's the big one.
I'm trying to imagine what the Twins like actually could have even done to get Soto.
I don't think they could.
In theory, there could be something, but I don't even know if they actually could if it's even possible for them to have put together a package. I think somebody described it as basically Miranda, Royce Lewis, and who was it? I mean, they tossed Gore in there. I mean,
they did. Right. The Twins do not have any pitching prospects close to as good as Mackenzie Gore is.
No. Yeah, you would have had to toss Ryan in there. Ryan and Duran probably. Yeah, it would have been like Miranda, Royce, Ryan, Duran, and probably one more.
Right.
I think that was the point of the cup of coffee today. Like, that's the kind of splashy trade, shall we say, that I was hoping they wouldn't make, just getting rid of everybody for somebody.
I mean, it would have been really surprising to me. It already was surprising to me enough how much they did part with, I guess. It would have been shocking to me if they had gotten rid of Soto type. Well, especially once Castillo got traded, I did not expect for them to go after Montas or Rodon or any of them.
Right.
Rodon's kind of one of those names that was out there.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but
it would have been nice.
If they put something together for Syndergaard or something.
I mean, I'm not high on Syndergaard. His stuff is way down from when he was Syndergaard.
I think he's like that much better than like Bundy
or right Archer now, or like similar. he's maybe better than Archer, but yeah, he's like a fourth or fifth guy, I think.
Got a good Twitter account still, at least.
Oh, his Twitter game is definitely second level, at least. Maybe even
it'll be fun to see him in Philadelphia. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Seems like he's going to fit in pretty good. So you're not sad that we didn't get Hosmer or anything either? DK was just drinking water there. He almost spit it out. Sorry.
my favorite part of all this was that the Twins traded their entire 2021 draft class.
Yeah, I was going to say that the 21 draft class certainly took a hit this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
DK and I were talking at the time of that draft that it seemed a little bit.
We were not high on the 2020 super high on it,
and now it's not here anymore. So
there we go. We traded it all to Cincinnati, like all of it.
Yeah, yeah, they got
because they got Petty and Encarnacion Strand and Hajar from that draft class. Yep,
that's hilarious. Wow.
Maybe we can trade like Cavaco for Moustakas or something.
And we'll give them Aaron Sabato and Wander Javier.
There we go. Wander Javier. There we go.
Well, so I think all in all, this was a surprising and fruitful trade deadline, it seems. I was going to admit that I was pretty over since our partly cloudy podcast. I was thinking, oh, this is starting to look more partly sunny. But
yeah. It had been feeling that way.
Yeah, this is, hopefully a nice change of pace.
It was a fun day. It's going to be, at least I'm excited for the stretch run now. I was kind of dreading it, but the Twins did more than either of their two biggest rivals did. We did literally nothing in the Guardians case and got Jake Diekman and nothing else in the White Sox case.
Well, so, no. The Guardians got Ian Hamilton.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Guardians got Ian Hamilton.
Reliever who could help them on their stretch run.
Well, we're going to see how this plays out down the stretch. That's going to do it for us this time, gang. We will see how things go, and we will be talking to you again soon with a updated report card. Thank you so much, everybody, and stay safe. See you soon.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah! Cha-ching!